Our son, na ang pangalan ay P, is at an age in his life that he loves to ask questions. He loves to ask questions. If you have a teenager daughter or teenager son, you know exactly kung ano sinasabi ko. He is curious of a lot of things. He's curious about life, about manhood. He's curious about God and His Word. He oftentimes asks questions on what he should do pagdating sa mga decision-makings niya. There were several times that I gave him advice or counsel that he agrees. But there are also times now when I give him counsel, advice, and things that he should and should not do, clearly nakikita sa kanyang mukha that he disagrees. I try to reason with him if he disagrees and explain to him things that's supposed to help him grow in maturity as a man and grow his understanding of God. At times I help him think through things. And oftentimes, makapansin mo that he gives an expression na medyo nagda-doubt siya doon. There are times now when, especially if it's a black and white, clear na nabanggit sa Bible, I need to make a black and white counsel or command from Scripture sa kanya. And if there are times that he is doubtful or ayaw niya, ito madalas ko pong sabihin. If he still is skeptical, I ask him this: are you willing to trust my words even though you don't understand me? There are times that I will answer him this way, and he would say yes. Sadly, at times, my actions are not consistent sa mga bagay na sinabi ko, and even end up breaking promises sa kanya. I would apologize to him, and he is always gracious to accept ang aking apologies. Maring nandito ho tayo ngayong umaga na ito, at ilang beses na tayong napangakuan. Marami na nagbigay ng promise sa atin. Probably you grew up in a home with parents who overpromised but did not deliver, that left you brokenhearted. Or maybe you came here to Dubai, you were offered a job with a good salary package, but did not receive it as promised. Wala pang visa, trabaho lang. Hindi pa rin yung sweldo na binibigay. Or maybe someone promised you a business opportunity. Malaki daw ang kitaan. Mag-invest ka lang. And you did invest. Sooner or later, nalaman mo, scam pala. Again, left you broken hearted. Pati ang iyong bulsa ay sira. Or maybe somebody you love and trusted promised you to be with you, care for you, love you, be faithful to you, and then ended up betraying you, lying to you, abandoning you. Friends, these and many more probably sa mga nangyayaring mga ganito sa ating buhay ay nagkaroon tayo ng trust issues. Kung tayo trust issues. Naging critical ka. Isip mo, lagi kang iniisahan kapag may nangangako sa'yo o may sinasabi sa'yo ang instructions. Lagi mo iniisip, siguro niloloko to, hindi, mapagduda ako. Lagi tayong ganun. And maybe because of that, you do not even trust God's word and begin skeptical about His promises. And even tempted not to believe in His existence at all. Which begs the question for us this morning, is God true to His Word? Is God trustworthy? Does He really fulfill His promises? Can we trust Him to keep His word? Can we trust Him amidst impossible circumstances and even in our human foolishness? Our passage ngayong umaga na to will address these questions. Tayo po ay will go through a 6-week study on the historical book na ang tawag ay Genesis. It is a continuation ng ating pag-aaral noong 2024, which is last year, which is last month, just a few weeks ago, the God of Abraham. At kung nais ko rin yung pakinggan ng mga nakaraan, ng mga sermons natin patungkol sa series na ito, feel free po to visit our website at sa section ng sermons ay nandun po yung mga series, yung series ng sermons ng Genesis. Or you can go into our account sa Spotify or mismo sa iTunes. Sa series na ito, we've been focusing on the patriarch Abraham, a former idol worshiper, a moon worshiper from Ur, whom God called to leave his country, leave his relatives, leave his father's family, to go to a place na sasabihin na lang ng Panginoon pag nakarating na siya doon. And of course, we learned that, and he did. God promised him a sevenfold blessing. Yung covenant blessing na tinatawag po kay Abraham nung tatagpuan sa Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. And let me read it to you. Ito yung sevenfold blessing ng Panginoon kay Abraham. And that time is called Abram. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isa sa blessings na nabanggit dito is that he would be a father. He would be a daddy. He would be a tatay. He would be a father of many nations. And since then, inaabang-abangan ng mag-asawa na asawa na si Sarah kung kailan darating yung promised son. Lumipas na ang ilang taon at wala pa din ang promised child. We have seen several times that Abraham tried to fulfill God's promise with worldly schemes that God has thwarted or frustrated. Now it's been 25 years, sa passage natin, since the promise was made. Will God fulfill his promise? Will the promise of God come from the child of the slave named Ishmael or child of Sarah, Isaac? Mga kaibigan, my prayer for us this morning is that we will see simply that God is trustworthy, that he keeps his promises, and that we can entrust our whole lives to him. That God keeps his word, his promise, amidst impossible circumstances and even human weaknesses and foolishness. God is faithful to his promises. He can be trusted. God is faithful to his promises. He is faithful. He can be trusted. This passage is easily divided into two headings or points. Number one, promise kept, or promise fulfilled. Second, painful yet purposeful parting. Painful yet purposeful parting. Let's jump right there. Number one, promise kept, or promise fulfilled. Now, if you were with us last year sa ating pag-aaral ng Genesis chapter 15 hanggang 20, maaaring nagmumukhang God is against Sarah. kung ikaw ay unbeliever at naniniwala sa malas, ang tingin mo parang minamalas at inaalat ata si Sarah at saka si Abraham. Si Sarah, hindi siya magkaanak. Tapos pinangakuan ng Panginoon sa Genesis 12 na magkakaroon siya ng anak, pero lumipas ng ilang taon, wala pa rin din anak. Pinagtatawanan na siya ng kanyang sariling maidservant at marahil pinag-uusap-usapan na sa kanilang lugar. Isang malaking announcement na siya'y magkakaanak, pero ngayon wala. Probably there are laughter. People are laughing at them dahil sa situation na ito. At ngayon matanda na siya, lalo na dito sa Genesis chapter 21, matanda na siya, wala pa rin yung promised son. Yet despite how everything may have appeared to those around her, the Lord's good and kind providence was on Sarah. Tingnan niyo po sa verse 1 in Genesis 1, 21. The Lord visited Sarah. Ang term "the Lord visited Sarah" indicates God's special interest sa isang individual. It's either He declares judgment or curses or blessings or salvation sa tao na ito when He visits someone. Ang pinakamalapit na parallel situation ng kay Sarah ay si Hannah sa 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, where she too was barren. But when, sabi sa verse 21 of 2 Samuel 2, but when the Lord visited Hannah, she conceived. Nagkaroon siya ng maraming anak. Now when Moses mentioned that the Lord visited Sarah, he is saying the Lord blessed her and opened her womb, at sa pamamagitan ng sexual union po nila ni Abraham, siya po ay nabuntis. Kung mapapansin ninyo yung Genesis 21, verses 1 to 2, three times na-emphasize ni Moses that God has fulfilled His promise or kept His word to Abraham at kay Sarah. Tinan po yung first part of verse 1, as He had said. Last part of verse 1, as He had promised. Verse 2, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Three times. God fulfilled His promise. God's promise is inviolable, or He can never break His promise. What God says comes to pass. Walang pinagkaiba ho yan when He created the world. He created the world through a spoken word, and everything came to pass. Kung ano pinangako ng Panginoon, it will come to pass. Hindi siya mabago-bago ng isip, gaya ng pinrich si Pastor James a couple of weeks ago sa Psalm 102. He is immutable. He is unchanging, and so goes His promises. God is faithful to His promise despite difficult circumstances. I mean, we saw this kay Abraham, di ba? Hindi lang mahirap ang circumstances, sila rin ang mismong gumagawa ng kung ano-anong circumstances para matuloy lang yung promise na yun. He did a lot of foolish things. Abraham tried to fulfill God's promise on his own worldly schemes. Nakita po natin sa Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, pumasok na sa isip ni Abraham si Eliezer of Damascus. Sino yun? Yung anak ko ng alipin niya. And even suggested to the Lord na siya na ang maging tagapagmana ni Abraham. Dahil ang tagal na nag-aantay. Kaya ang sinabi ng Panginoon, no, hindi siya. Tapos pagdating naman sa Genesis chapter 16, si Sarah naman nakaisip. Nakaisip na maybe I would obtain, sabi niya, a child through my maidservant na si Hagar. Kaya she gave her to Abraham as his wife. Nagkaanak si Abraham kay Hagar ng Ishmael. At sa Genesis chapter 7, dinirequest niya rin, Lord, baka pwede siya na lang, si Ishmael na lang. And God also said, no, I am true to my promises. Tapos twice nilagay ni Abraham sa alanganin ng kanyang asawa. Nung inutusan niyang magsinungaling siya, nasabihin na magkapatid sila sa dalawang magkaibang hari. Una sa Genesis chapter 12 kay Pharaoh at sa Genesis chapter 20 kay Abimelech, who both took her para maging kalaguyo o asawa. If not for the Lord's protection, in danger po yung promised son or child. God is faithful to His promise despite difficult circumstances and human foolishness. For He can be trusted. God is true to His word. So, balik tayo sa passage natin sa chapter 21, verses 3 hanggang 4. Abraham obeyed the Lord's command as instructed sa Genesis 17, 10 to 13, to name his son Isaac, and he circumcised siya on the 8th day. Tapos sa verse 5, it mentioned that Abraham was 100 years old. At si Sarah naman po dito ay 90 years old. Binanggit ni Moses ang edad ni Abraham dito sa chapter 21 to emphasize that this is a miraculous birth, which means it is impossible for Abraham at si Sarah magkaroon ng anak dahil sa kanilang edad. Ang focus ng passage is on the promise and how God's promises to Abraham are fulfilled. Yung po yung focus ng passage na to. 25 years have gone since God called him out from Ur. The emphasis is on God delivering the promised son sa kanila. This is about the impossible. This is impossible that God made possible. See how Sarah responded to this miracle. So verse 6. God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. So chapter 21, the wait was over. God fulfilled His promise. Praise the Lord. And now, verse 6, Sarah here expresses her joy. In fact, ang pangalan ng kanilang anak na Isaac means laughter. Unang beses narinig ang laughter ni Sarah nasa Genesis chapter 18. Dahil nag-eavesdrop siya sa nagkikwentuhan na si Abraham at ang Panginoon kasama yung mga angels. Natawa siya dahil naisip na sa tandaan mo ito, bubuntis pa ba ako? Nirebuke pa nga siya ng Panginoon. Pero pagdating sa Genesis 21, this kind of laughter is a laughter of rejoicing dahil sa blessing. And everyone rejoiced with her dahil na-fulfill ng Panginoon ang kanyang pangako. Ang application ng katotohanan na ito is straightforward. It's straightforward. When God makes promises, and listen, when God makes promises, He keeps them or fulfills them. Kaya naman, we can trust Him. It's simple as that. Walang pangako na ibinigay ang Panginoon na hindi niya tinutupad. Ang pangako ng Panginoon ay binibigay niya sa atin mula sa kanyang puso at hindi lamang sanggang muso, katulad ng iba sa atin, kung hindi karamihan sa atin. Lahat tayo ngayong oras na ito ay may kanya-kanyang challenges in trusting the Lord. May kanya-kanyang challenges tayo in trusting the Lord, hindi po ba? May mga areas tayo na nahihirapan tayo magtiwala sa Panginoon. Pero ang istorya ni Abraham, ni Sarah, and ni Isaac ay isang paalaala sa atin that the Lord is a trustworthy God. Dahil kung ano ang pinangako ng Diyos, kagaya ng ating paulit-ulit na binabanggit, tinutupad niya. And I pray that this would encourage you this morning. Totoo na si Abraham at Sarah ay nagre-rejoice dahil sa kanilang bagong anak, sa bagong pinanganak na baby, na si Isaac. Pero kung mapapansin natin, as you have journeyed with us together in studying Abraham and Sarah's lives, and as we look at this passage today, they are rejoicing in something prior sa birth ni Isaac. And that is the promise of God, that the son would be born in the first place. Before pa dumating si Isaac sa mundo, they were already rejoicing sa promise ng Panginoon. So anong sinasabi po natin dito? We're saying that this by nature, yung rejoicing nila ay spiritual. It's spiritual joy. They are rejoicing in the faithfulness of God in fulfilling His promise. Ayon kay Charles Spurgeon, the more we study the words of grace, the more grace we derive from the words. So friends, are we struggling right now to trust in God's goodness and faithfulness? What areas sa life mo ngayon are you having a hard time trusting God? Are you doubting His goodness? Are you doubting that His sovereignty? Are you doubting that He is in control of your life even though it seems like it's out of control? Are you doubting God's grace to forgive? Kung tayo ito, then dapat natin sundin ang payo ni Spurgeon. Anong payo ni Spurgeon sa atin? Study the words of grace. Study the words of grace, which is Scripture or the Bible. Kailangan po natin basahin ang salita ng Diyos regularly. We should be reading, memorizing, meditating God's Word day and night. We should be quoting Bible verses sa atin when we feel that we are losing yung ating trust and faith sa Panginoon. Or nagkakaroon tayo ng pagtutuga sa kanila, sa Kanya. The only way para mapaglabanan po ito ay parang kailangan po natin i-recite yung mga Bible verses na ating minemorya. So ang tanong ko, meron ba po tayong Bible scripture na na-memorize? Meron ba tayong baon na Bible verse to counter yung mga attacks ng kaaway when we feel tempted, when we feel lonely, when we feel that we are beginning to doubt God's goodness? We remind ourselves with God's Word. We remind ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we need to preach the gospel sa ating sarili daily. That's why it is important every Sunday that we come as a covenant community dito sa Dubai, dito sa Crossroads, regularly on a Sunday. This is the place that we together corporately feast on God's Word. Encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We sing to one another. That's why when we sing out loud. We love loud singing. Because the words that we sing are the very words that we believe na nakalagay sa salita ng Diyos. These are the reasons. Kaya bakit pag kumakanta ka about some truth about God's Word, naiiyak na lang. You are come, yung dandang mo lang napapaluhod ang iyong puso nyo in worshiping the Lord. Meditate well. Remember His faithfulness. And then determined by God's grace to trust Him at His Word and keeps His Word. Maybe you're here today and you're praying for someone na makakilala sa Panginoon. You're praying and praying and praying and praying. Still not. Hope on the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. It is God in His goodness. He will provide yung answer sa prayer niyo. Maybe you're praying a certain struggle ho sa kasalanan. I feel that every day, para akong talunan, Pastor, hindi ko mapaglabanan. Well, you should be reminding yourself of God's Word. You should be reminding yourself of the Gospel. You should be surrounding yourself with God's people who will saturate you with God's Word. Who will encourage you, pray for you, cry with you, walk with you. That's why hindi ho pwedeng sabihin na ang Christian ako lang mag-isa. You're saved for a community. You're saved to a family. We need God's Word every day for our own soul's sake. But we also need it as a church to encourage one another. At long last, we see the fulfillment of God's promise sa mag-asawa na. So there was joyous laughter, joyous laughter and rejoicing sa pamilya ni Abraham because dumating na ang pinangako ng Panginoon. But according sa author na si Moses, this rejoicing seems like short-lived. Bakit? Kasi sa verses 8 to 21, may conflict na nangyari sa pamilya ni Abraham. There was a conflict na nangyari. And that's yung point to natin. Painful yet purposeful parting. Painful yet purposeful parting. A parting away. May parting away tayo mamaya makikita. Verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Mataas ang infant mortality nung panahon na ito. Dahil wala naman po sila mga medical facilities o mga eksperto sa medisina, kagaya ng meron po tayo ngayon sa panahon natin. So sa panahon na ito, hindi pinahihinto ang bata mag-breastfeed hanggang umabot sila ng 3 years old. Kaya maraming namamatay na mga bata because of this. Kaya kapag sinasabi ang isang bata ay weaned, it means naka-survive sila sa fragile stage of infancy. And because of that, pwede na sila ngayon kumain ng mga solid food. That's why when Isaac was weaned, it meant he had survived. At tiyak talaga na siya ang magiging heir ni Abraham. And that's why, and some cultures, including sa culture nila, ang culture and tradition nila is they celebrate. Malaking pistahan po ito, they celebrate. Because he's weaned. As Sarah joyously laughs at the birth of her son, ang anak naman ni Abraham kay Hagar na si Ishmael also laughed. Nakitawa rin siya. Pero he laughed at Isaac. Tingnan niyo po sa verse 8. 9. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. Now, hindi ito yung katulad ng joyous laughter po na nangyayari kay Sarah at sa ibang mga tao doon. Or yung laughs or na in delight na tinatawag sa pagkakasilang ng kanyang half-brother. Kadala, ibang klaseng laughter po ito sa kanyang pagkakagamit dito sa passage, kadalasan ang salita na ito means to mock. To mock. Kinukutsa. It's the same word used sa Genesis chapter 19 nung winawarningan nila ang mga sons-in-law niya about the coming judgment sa Sodom and Gomorrah. At ang response ng mga sons-in-law niya is jesting. Parang, you're just mocking us. Pinagtitripan mo lang kami, hindi ko po yan. At inaral po natin yung last year. Ganun din sa Genesis chapter 39, when Potiphar's wife accused Joseph on advancing on her, she described him of making of sport of us. Nilalaro kami ng mga Israelita, mga Jews na ito. They're mocking us. Sabi rin sa Judges 25, when the Philistines asked for the weak Samson, na kung sa ito na yung Samson na tinanggal na yung buhok at binulag, ang sabi ng mga taong bayan, ilabas si Samson that he may entertain us. Paul also used this term sa Galatians chapter. Ganda rin ang pagkakaunawa ni Paul sa Galatians 4:29. Calls Ishmael the one who was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit with Isaac. So Apostle Paul calls that laughter, the joyous laughter, kung hindi persecution. May ginawa si Ishmael kay Isaac that Paul understands. That Paul understands it to be a kind of persecution. A mockery. So Ishmael loves to mock the toddler Isaac. Some scholars believe na ang dahilan kung kaya bakit ganun ang ginawa ni Ishmael towards kay Isaac ay dahil ang kanyang expectations, because of Ishmael's expectations and dreams, ay biglang naglaho nung isinilang si Isaac. Si Ishmael now is a teenager sa time na ito. He is confident na siya ang tigapagmana ng kayamanan at kapangyarihan ni Abraham. Ang kanyang nararamdaman kay Isaac turned from mad to hatred. Kaya nung nanganak yun, naging threat po yung baby na si Isaac sa kanya. Yung galit niya naging puot Dahil he sees Isaac as a threat sa kanyang future prosperity. Hindi na niya makontain ang kanyang bitterness and hatred sa kanyang half-brother, kaya na itong inutsa o pinagtripan or he made fun of him. At napansin ito syempre ng nanay. And immediately, ano ang response ng nanay? Verse 10. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." Sharp, huh? Inutusan ni Sarah si Abraham, in short, palayasin si Hagar at saka si Ishmael. Hindi lang basta palayasin sa ilang or sa wilderness, she wants them to be thrown sa wilderness to die alone. Now, it's important to note ang sinabi ni Sarah sa verse 10. Very important po yan. Let me read it to you again. For the son of this slave woman shall not be the heir with my son. Now, hindi talaga natin alam ang motibo kung bakit very harsh ang pagkakasabi ni Sarah dito. Pero whether she said this in an angry tone, dahil galit siya as a mother na kung saan minimistreat ang kanyang anak, or because of maternal jealousy, or dahil naalala niya yung pangako ng Panginoon sa Genesis chapter 15, ang point dito is tama si Sarah. Tama siya doon. Tama siya na hindi si Ishmael ang promised son. Hindi manggagaling ang kanyang promise sa line ni Hagar ni Ishmael. For whatever motive ang meron siya, she spoke God's word. And yun ang sinabi ni po sa Galatians 4. As the scripture says. At ano naman ang naging reaction ni Abraham? Verse 11. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. Now, bakit? Kasi mahal na mahal na yung batang to. Mahal na mahal ni Abraham si Ishmael. He is fond of him. There was even a time he requested the Lord na siya na lang ang promised son. He was deeply hurt nung pinapagawa sa kanya ito ni Sarah. For Abraham, this is a painful parting of ways. But this was necessary. And God affirmed this nung kinausap niya si Abraham sa verse 12 hanggang 13. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." Now, this is not how to apply this. Don't apply this by quoting the Lord by saying, "Whatever the wife says to you, do as she tells you." Now, wives, hindi po yun ang application ng passage na ito. Okay? This was, again, God is not approving of your motive or your evil heart mismo ni Sarah dito, but he has a reason kung bakit. God assures him na ang mag-ina na si Hagar at saka si Ishmael ay hindi mapapahama. At pinangako niya na hindi sila mamamatay. He also tells them na pakinggan na si Sarah dahil ang pinaka-reason ng Panginoon dito, he is preserving yung line ni Isaac. He is preserving and protecting yung line ni Isaac. Because siya ang promised one. Siya ang heir, hindi si Ishmael. The promised line ay kay Isaac, hindi kay Ishmael. But the Lord also assures him that Ishmael will be a great nation dahil siya nga ang anak ni Abraham. And so sa verse 14, Abraham sends out Hagar and Ishmael to the wilderness. Now this is more than just a family conflict po sa New Testament. Sa Old Testament. Sa New Testament, Paul sees the significance ng event na ito sa Galatians chapter 4. And he sees Hagar at saka si Sarah as two different family lines. Dalawang lahi. Yun ang tingin ng Panginoon doon. Paul dito. He used Sarah at saka Hagar figuratively to represent two different races, pero sa Galatians, covenants. Now, to explain, help us explain this, let me quote si Philip Bathencourt as he explains this. Sabi niya, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, represents then yet to come Moses' covenant from Mount Sinai. Since hindi pa nabibigay yung law rito and yung Mount Sinai, which represents where God gave the law to God's people, ang sinasabi ni Philip Bethancourt dito, Hagar represents yung mga tao na ito, which associates with the law that binds its children in a lifelong slavery to sin. You can look that up in Romans chapter 6, verse 20, which means ang binigay ng law, none of them can obey, which means they are enslaved by sin because none of them can obey the law. In contrast, si Isaac naman, the promise of Sarah, figuratively represents the Abrahamic covenant that was associated with a promise. Jesus sets believers free from the slavery to sin by making those who believe in Him as the children of promise. As in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28 po ito. Ginamit ng Panginoon ang masamang hangarin ni Sarah in order to help bring about the inheritance for Isaac, who is the promised line. Kung mananatili po si Ishmael doon, magiging hati ang damdamin ni Abraham. Bagamat the Bible nowhere mention ginawa ni Sarah, pero this is a crucial thing na paulit-ulit natin makikita towards ng end ng Genesis. Sabi nga sa Genesis 50, verse 20, and you are familiar with this verse. Sabi ni Joseph sa kanyang mga kapatid na humihingi ng tawad sa kanya, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. So, yun ang ginawa ng Panginoon sa evil motives ni Sarah. He meant it for good. He meant it to accomplish God's purposes in order for Him to fulfill the promise. We also see this clearly sa life of Jesus. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to God the Father. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, cast out demons, preached the gospel of salvation, but He was falsely accused. He was unjustly judged by evil men and crucified Him on the criminal's cross. Jesus lived the perfect life that none of us could and died the death that we deserve. He rose from the grave on the third day. Jesus is the promised Son who reconciled sinners to God the Father. He is the promised Son. Whoever believes in Him makes them the children of promise, of the promise. It is through Jesus, true blessings will flow to those who believe. Sabi nga ni Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, God is faithful to His promises. You can trust Him. When He says, come to me, He will give you rest, He will give you rest. When He says to believe in Him alone for salvation, He will save you. And sa oras na ito, there is a decision na kailangan mong gawin ngayong umaga. Are you willing to trust, mismo, relying on your good works that none of you can really obey perfectly, which God demands perfectly? Or are we relying on the good work of Christ on the cross for our salvation? In verses 15 to 21, we see God fulfills His promise to Abraham by saving Hagar and Ishmael. Di ba pinakapuan niya? si Abraham na hindi mamamatay ang mag-ina at sila ay magiging great nation. Yes, makikita natin sa verse 15 to 21, God saved them. Ngayon na nasa desierto lang ang mag-ina, wala nang tubig, wala na silang pagkain, mainit ang araw, they are exhausted. Inaantay na lang nila mamatay ang bawat isa. Si Hagar, akay-akay ang kanyang anak, hindi na makatayo, naghanap na lang ng linen, nilagay ron. Iniwanan na yung anak niya, ay umupo opposite from him at umiyak. Inantay na lang dahil she is helpless, wala na siya magawa. Again, in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, Hagar declared that the Lord is the God who sees her. Yun ang sinabi niya. That's why yun ang pangalan po ni Ishmael. Pagdating naman sa Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, excuse me, Hagar declared that the Lord is the God who sees her. Pero pagdating sa desierto na dito, God also sees her. Because God heard yung voice ng pag-iyak ng kanyang anak. And God opened her eyes dito for her to see na may tubig na pwede silang inumin at para sila yung makasurvive. And so, ang story na ito ay nagwawakas with God providing for Hagar and Ishmael. Just as He promised to Abraham, God also gave him secular blessings. Binigyan niya ng mga secular blessings si Ishmael. Promises to make him a great nation. Pero there is no promise in the passage that Ishmael will be his God. That God will be his God, though we are told that the Lord was with him. Pero si Ishmael po is not the promised son. God made that clear. Kaya napakahalaga po ng pagkakahiwalay na to. This is a significant parting of ways. Because nakasalalay po rito yung line, yung promise ng Panginoon para kay Isaac that points to Christ. So, ang tanong, ano matututunan natin sa section ng passage na ito? Tulad ng paghiwalay ng Panginoon kay Abraham and Lot, dito sa passage natin naman, nakita natin hiniwalay niya si Abraham at si Ishmael. For what reason? Why did God cause this painful yet necessary parting of ways? Well, aside to protect and preserve yung promise sa ni Abraham to Isaac, God parted Ishmael and Abraham's ways so that Abraham's heart would be wholly devoted to God. So that he would be devoted to God. Ang pagkawala ni Ishmael forces Abraham to stop hoping na si Ishmael ang promised son. Yung kagustuhan pa rin niya. And continue to trust God's promise na si Isaac ang promised son. Kailangan mawala. Kailangan maghiwalay. Kailangan paalisin. Kailangan gawin ng Panginoon yun. Kasi darating na yung Genesis 22. Which is a much greater trial and testing na ibibigay ng Panginoon kay Abraham. Itong klaseng testing na ito sa Genesis 21 helps Abraham and it will also help us understand yung kalagayan ni Abraham. So ano ba nangyayari sa Genesis 22? Sa Genesis 22, nung pinapaakyat si Abraham sa Moriah with Isaac, he knows in his mind, isa lang ang kanyang anak. Isa lang ang kanyang anak. Okay? Si Isaac lang, wala na siyang ibang fallback. Okay? Si Isaac lang. Kaya when the Lord tested Abraham's faith to sacrifice Isaac, in his mind, in his heart, he has only one son. He has only one son. This is his ultimate test of faith. If he's going to fully put his hope into his life on God's hands. Alam na kasi wala na siyang ibang anak eh. Or siya ba ay matetep na balikan? O baka naman siguro kapag namatay si Isaac, ano naman lumitaw kaya si Ishmael? Tingnan natin how he responded. Pero makita natin the way he responded sa Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him up from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So, madaling salita, Abraham, in that circumstance, alam niya na wala na siyang anak at wala na siyang fallback. Hindi na okay lang mamatay si Isaac, meron pa akong Ishmael. Hindi, resolved na siya rito na isa na lang anak niya. Because of chapter 21, he trusted the Lord. Now he's being tested again. Dito, he believed that God was going to establish his seed. Paniwala na si Abraham dito na i-establish ng Panginoon seed through Isaac, hindi kay Ishmael. At inisip niya that, which is interesting, sa Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, he is so trusting and believing in God's promise, he even said, so verse 19 of Hebrews 11, baka pag namatay naman si Isaac, bubuhay ng Panginoon. That's how resolved he is kay Isaac, na ang line, ang promise ng Panginoon. So God used the painful parting ni Ishmael at Abraham to break his heart. To break his heart in order to build up his faith. Friend, listen. It is also the same with us. God loves us so much that he will break our hearts. He breaks our hearts, causes painful partings, or draws our hearts away from anything that might separate us from him, or compromise our trust in the promises of his covenant. God will do everything. He will break our heart and at times even break bones. Kung anak ka ng Diyos, in order for our hearts to bend towards him. Maring may ganitong klasikang karanasan ngayon. Your faith is being tested. Maring meron kang hopes, meron kang mga dreams, meron kang mga ambitions, meron kang mga goals dito sa Dubai, meron kang mga relationships, and even prayer requests that God did not provide in us. That God broke your heart by saying no. And you see, hindi ko maintindihan, Pastor. Listen, are you willing to trust God's word even though you don't understand? Minsan iniisip po natin kapag hindi sinasagot o hindi pinagkakalob sa atin ng Panginoon, we feel that God is withholding something good sa atin. Maring tulad sa case ni Abraham at Ishmael, the Lord is rather preparing you. Maybe God is preparing me for the blessing and building up of your faith. Kung ikaw ay mananampalataya ng Panginoon Jesus Christ, every trial, from the word trial, is testing your faith. So my prayer is, are you willing to trust the Lord even though your circumstances na meron ka ngayon seems impossible to trust Him? Name it. Sa trabaho, sa school, sa relationships, sa asawa, sa mahal natin sa buhay, sa karamdaman natin pang physical, sa pakikipagdigmaan natin sa kasalanan. Are you willing to trust the Lord even though hindi pa niya sinasagot? Or it seems like he's absent. I think it was Keller who said this, pagdating sa prayer, God's absence. No, manina ka mong quote. Nawala na si isip ko. In our prayers, God is never absent. He always answers our prayers. It's a yes, it's a no, and sometimes the answer is wait. Pero if God's answer is clearly no from God's word, huwag mo na i-promote sa wait. Huwag mo na i-promote sa waiting. Kung no yan. What areas in your life ang kailangan baliin ng Panginoon para lumaki ang ating lumalong ang pananampalataya natin sa Kanya. Are there certain necessary partings na kailangan mangyari within relationships na alam natin mali? Are there certain vices that are destroying us na kailangan natin hinto? Anong kailangan hibalayan? Anong kasalanan ang kailangan hibalayan? In fact, lahat ng kasalanan ay kailangan i-reject natin sa grace ng Panginoon. May we trust the Lord until we see the light of His return. Again, mga kaibigan, God is faithful sa kanyang mga pangako. You can trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we would like to confess that we are people of weak faith. We are people who are used to walk through our eyes. Our Father, to see is always to believe. But Lord, faith is to believe and then we'll see. So I pray for us today, Lord, if our brothers and sisters may pinagdadaanan, Panginoon, the challenges or testings sa kanilang life that is shaking their faith. May the gospel and Your word be filled in their hearts and minds. May God's people, Your people, would continue to speak truth and love them and minister to them and invest on them. I pray, Lord, that such culture ang mangyari po sa church namin dito sa Crossroads, where all of us would pour into one another with Your word. I pray that this church would have a culture that saturates each other with the gospel, saturating each other with Your word. Lord, may You increase our faith in times of trials. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.